My title this evening is the title of a hymn. I'm speaking about the hymn, Facing a Task Unfinished. And maybe you expect me to speak from my text to be a passage of Scripture. Well, I find that this hymn, Facing a Task Unfinished, is a very scriptural hymn, a very challenging hymn. And I hope that we'll all be helped by what I have to say this evening. I'm going to show you some pictures on the screen. This is a family. The couple are called John and Betty Stamm. They had a small baby called Priscilla. And in 1934, they were serving as missionaries in China. They were in a place called Sichuan. It was a very remote area of China. They were the only missionaries resident there. They were the first missionaries to actually live there. Other missionaries had visited from time to time, but they went and made that their home. In those years, China was difficult security-wise, and it deteriorated while they lived there. There were communist bandits around the place, and eventually the communist bandits came to their house. They took them away from the house. They imprisoned them in a small hut. That's the father and the mother and the three-month-old baby. Not long afterwards, John and Betty were taken out of the hut. They were executed. Now, they must have forgotten about the baby. The mother and father had wrapped the baby up in its night clothes. It might have been in a sort of bag or something. But the baby was saved, and Christians returned the baby to other missionaries, and that baby survived. Then OMF still looked at the mission field in China after that terrible tragedy. And instead of cutting down the number of missionaries, they decided to send more. They began a campaign, and in that campaign, there was a campaign to recruit 200 new missionaries in 1 year. And as part of that mission, as part of that campaign, another missionary who was working in China with OMF, China Inland Mission as it was called then, was a man called Frank Houghton. And he wrote a hymn as part of this campaign to raise these 200 missionaries in the 1 year. Frank Houghton later became one of the leaders of OMF. And the hymn written in the aftermath of the death of the Stamms began with the line, "Facing a Task Unfinished." We'll be singing that hymn at the end of the service. The first verse is about a task, and it's also about us facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, and need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. We who rejoice to know thee, renew before thy throne the solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee known. Near the end of each of the four Gospels, and at the beginning of Acts, in the passage that we read, Jesus gave us what we know as the Great Commission in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. This is the last thing that Jesus said before going away from the disciples. And the last thing a person has to say before they go on a journey or anywhere else is obviously something very important. And Jesus told his disciples to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when Frank Houghton wrote the hymn, the job was not completed. Unfinished, he says. They needed 200 more missionaries at least in China at that time. And although there was a fast-growing church in China, and there still is a fast-growing church today, there are still millions who have never heard. And it's the same picture worldwide. The gospel has been spread, as you know, all over the world, but the population of the world has grown so much that millions still need to hear. That's the task that we are facing. We sing that it drives us to our knees. What I would ask is, do our actions match up with what we sing? Often we say to people, do your actions match up with what you say? But in this case, do our actions match up with what we sing? Does this really drive us to our knees that there are still millions who have never heard? Is this hymn, this song, is this a wake-up call for more prayer? Or is it more than that? It's a wake-up call to be involved in the gospel. It might be a challenge to be more active. And the verse ends with a renewed pledge to go and make him known. If there was a meter of some kind I could attach myself to, that I could plug into, to measure my passion for spreading the gospel, I wonder what that meter would read. Would it be low? Would it be medium? Would it be high? Then we move to the second verse. The second verse is about the state of the world that we're sent to. The state of China, as Houghton saw it all those years ago in the mid-1930s. But the same situation still is here today. There are lords and forces that are against God and against Christians and against God's work. Galatians 1 and 3 talks about a dominion of darkness. Ephesians 6 says that we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil. That's a picture of Satan and his power, that which opposes the gospel. What Frank Houghton was thinking about was the state of heathen China under Satan's control. And that was the time when communism was beginning to spread in China. And traditionally, we would have thought that the first half of the verse was the description of places far away. But we could apply this to our own area. We could apply this verse to Kilkeel, County Down, to BT 34. And the part of the hymn that really disturbs me most is the end of the verse. This part that talks about unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. Now, this is really an answer to Stephen's prayer. Stephen's prayer was that we would be reminded about the lostness of people who are not saved. And that's what this hymn says. Unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. What pictures in your mind as you hear that read, as you sing that? In my mind's eye, I see a vast crowd of people. A vast crowd of people being swept away. Like maybe on an enormous conveyor belt that they can't get off. And it's happening now, and it's happening here. As we sit in church this evening, as we go out on another working week, this great crowd of people are going to a lost eternity. That should concern us. But let's move on to verse 3. We bear the torch that flaming fell from the hands of those who gave their lives proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. Ours is the same commission, the same glad tidings ours, fired by the same ambition. To thee we yield our powers. Last year we were all watching the Olympic flame as it passed on. This is the picture in verse 3. But it's the gospel that's been passed on from one generation to another. People brought the gospel to us in the past. It has passed from generation to generation. It has passed from place to place. This was the legacy that has been passed on to us. What legacy are we going to pass on? You and I as individuals, what's our legacy going to be when we leave this scene of time? What legacy will we pass on? All of us together as a church? What legacy will our generation pass on? The third verse reminds us that the Great Commission is ours. It's not just something that was told to the disciples. Ours is the same commission. Let me read what it looks like to us in Kilkeel. This is the McCulloch translation for Kilkeel. You shall be my witnesses in Kilkeel, in the surrounding area, to the people that we don't want anything to do with, and to the ends of the earth. That's our job here in Kilkeel. Some people think that the Great Commission is a call to serve overseas because it says to the ends of the earth and they forget about the beginning. Sometimes people think that that's a call into full-time service. The Great Commission is for all Christians. And of the four areas that are mentioned, we can be active in three of them. And we can be supportive of the third one. Kilkeel, the surrounding area, and to people that we don't want to have much to do with. Will we each be faithful in passing on the gospel in our area, in our generation, in our generation? What legacy are we going to leave behind? I see a thread of thought going through this whole hymn. Verse 1 talks about an unfinished, undiminished task given by the Lord Jesus. Verse 2, countless people under ungodly and satanic powers being carried to a lost eternity. And verse 3, we have a legacy to pass on. And so on to verse 4. O Father, who sustained them, O Spirit who inspired, Saviour whose love constrained them to toil with zeal untired, from cowardice defend us, from lethargy awake, forth on thine errand send us to labour for thy sake. That's a prayer to the Trinity, to God the Father, to Jesus our Saviour, and the Holy Spirit as we take on that task. We pray to be delivered from cowardice, the fear of not knowing what to say, the fear of being laughed at if we mention that we're a Christian or anything about Christianity, the fear of looking foolish, the fear of being different. And then it says to deliver us from lethargy. Lethargy is a sort of apathetic laziness. Might those be the things that hold us back from witnessing to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? As I see it, there are three possible responses that we could have to this hymn or the Great Commission for that matter. The first response, that because of cowardice or lethargy or some other reason, we decide just to leave it and to stand on the sidelines. Maybe approving of the gospel, but not taking anything to do with the spread of it. That's for somebody else. If that's the way you feel, that you won't have anything to do with this, that you'll just let fear overcome you, that you'll just get into this apathy or lethargy or laziness, then remember what God said to one of the seven churches in Revelation. He said, because you're lukewarm, because you're neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. The first response is no response, really. There could be a second response. Sometimes you get the sort of person who wholeheartedly throws themselves into the task. They are very enthusiastic, and then it all wears away. There's the sort of person that's that's always up and down, enthusiastic, and then quickly they lose their interest and it fades away. And that's possibly a way too for either physical or mental burnout, because a person is doing this all in their own strength and they have got into it without much thought or preparation. There's a third response, and this is probably the best response: to thoughtfully and to prayerfully offer your service to God, asking by prayer, Bible study, talking and sharing with other Christians, relying on God's strength and not our own strength, and seeking to work with people who are like-minded, being encouraged by them and also encouraging them. I think that's the response that God would want us to have for the Great Commission. But before finishing, I want to finish by being practical. I don't want anybody leaving without a practical suggestion about how we could go on from here. And this is something I would like you to think about prayerfully as we think about the task of stopping this tide of people going to a lost eternity. First of all, think about, I wonder if you've ever done this. I remember talking about this once before when I was taking the service. And what I said was this: think about how you would explain the gospel to somebody who wasn't a Christian. How would you explain how you had become a Christian? What verses from the Bible would you use? And I think that's a good way to begin to think about how we would witness to unbelievers if we haven't already done so. Think about how you would explain the gospel beforehand so that you have something in your mind. And then I was looking once at a course about personal evangelism and what this course said, and I think this is a good idea. The course said, make a list of people that you see regularly. People that you live with, people that you work with, your neighbours, people that you see on the way to work, people that you have your recreation with. Make that list of people because that is your mission field. That's Kilkeel, that's the area surrounding, and I'm sure in that list there are people that you wouldn't like as well. You see, the Samaritans in Jesus' list, In the Great Commission, the Samaritans and the Jews had absolutely nothing to do with each other. The Jews really hated the Samaritans. But Jesus said, you need to go to the Samaritans. So we need to go to people that maybe we wouldn't be too fussed about. And you'll find those people in that list that I mentioned to you. The third thing I would suggest is to pray for these people. Pray for them by name. And pray for them regularly. And here's the difficult bit now. Here's the difficult bit. Pray for an opportunity to speak to them about your faith. Pray for an opportunity to use this thing that you've been thinking about, how you would explain the gospel to a person who wasn't a Christian. And keep at it. Don't stop once you've done that for one person. And I think the fourth thing is to get together with other people and to encourage them to do the same thing. Encouraging us not to be cowards and not to get into lethargy. From cowardice, defend us, and from lethargy, awake us. This wonderful hymn, I believe, is a wake-up call to challenge us not to be passive Christians, but to be active Christians. I wonder again if I could get another meter and put it on myself and measure about my Christian activity, whether I'm passive or whether I'm really active. I would encourage you to be active Christians, not passive Christians. That's what Jesus wants when he tells us what to do in the Great Commission. Houghton's hymn, in the aftermath of the death of John and Betty Stamm, began with the Great Commission. Remember the Great Commission. You will be my witnesses in Kilkeel, in the surrounding area, to people you don't really feel comfortable with, and to the ends of the earth. Shall we pray?